Hey there. Ready for another deep dive? This time, we're tackling a topic that's pretty universal: relationships. And you've given us a really interesting mix of sources. It's almost like a mini guide to better connections, wouldn't you say? We've got definitions, types of relationships, tips on starting strong, the signs of unhealthy patterns, even some advice on being a good coworker.
It's true. Humans seem a bit obsessed with the topic of relationships.
Yeah.
And probably for good reason. They really do impact everything from our well-being to, you know, our sense of purpose in life.
Absolutely. So what do you see as the goal of this deep dive? Is it about finding the one, building a dream team at work, or just, you know, understanding the dynamics in your own life better?
Well, it could be all of those things. I think what we're trying to do here is give our listeners a toolkit for building better relationships, whatever that might look like for them. We'll unpack the core concepts from your sources, explore a little bit of the psychology behind successful connections, and point out some really insightful advice that we think you'll find valuable.
Sounds good. Let's jump right in. So I thought we could start with how your sources actually define a relationship. One of them describes it as a connection between two people, which can be positive or negative. But that seems pretty broad, doesn't it?
It is. And that's an important point to keep in mind. We often jump to romantic relationships when we think of this topic, but it goes way beyond that. It really does. Family, friends, coworkers, mentors, even that landlord you can't seem to get along with, they all fit this definition.
So we're talking about all the connections that make up a life.
Exactly.
Interesting.
And that leads to another key takeaway from your sources, you know, the idea that relationships are one of the most important things in life.
I think most people would agree with that.
Yeah.
But then the question becomes, what makes a relationship successful? Is it about shared goals, trust, constant support? I mean, your sources offer a lot of different perspectives.
Right. And it's easy to get caught up in the practical aspects. Who does the dishes? You know, whose career takes priority?
Right.
That kind of thing. But there was this one line in one of the sources that really made me think. It said, "The most important part of a relationship may not be something you can see, but can instead be felt." What do you make of that?
It's getting deep. It makes me think about how a relationship can make you feel safe, understood, energized, or on the flip side, drained and insecure.
Yes, exactly. Those are good examples. Trust, respect, a genuine sense of connection. Those aren't exactly tangible things, are they?
No, not really.
But they're the foundation of any healthy relationship.
So we're talking about a deeper level of emotional connection.
Right.
Interesting.
Which brings us to another point. You know how your sources list all these different types of relationships? Family, friendships, romantic relationships, work relationships, even the relationship we have with ourselves.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Wait, they're saying the most important relationship is the one with yourself.
It seems that way.
Why is that?
Because you can't pour from an empty cup. Have you heard that one before? If you don't have self-love, self-respect, a solid understanding of your own needs and boundaries, it makes it really hard to create healthy relationships with anyone else.
So tending to that inner garden is actually the first step to better relationships across the board.
It really is. Think about it. If you're constantly seeking validation from others, or you don't believe you deserve happiness, you're probably more likely to end up in relationships that reinforce those negative beliefs, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. So how do relationships actually begin then? What are the signs that a connection, you know, whatever kind it is starting off on the right foot?
Well, your sources really emphasize honesty, open communication, and emotional connection. And that makes sense to me. If you can't be your authentic self from the start, it's really hard to build a foundation of trust.
Right. One source even gave a specific example. They said that being honest, even when it's difficult, actually strengthens the bond because it shows you're willing to be vulnerable.
Right. It's about creating a space where both people feel safe to show up as their true selves, flaws and all.
That's so important. And it makes me think about that old saying, happy wife, happy life, or however you want to phrase it. It seems like your sources really emphasize happiness as this cornerstone of healthy relationships.
They do.
But why? Why is a happy relationship inherently healthier?
That's where things get really interesting. You see, happiness isn't just a nice side effect. It's actually a key driver of all those healthy behaviors that make relationships thrive. Think about a time when you were genuinely happy in a relationship.
Okay.
Were you more likely to communicate openly, to compromise, maybe to even see the best in your partner, you know, even when they messed up?
Yeah. I think so. When you're feeling good, it's easier to give someone the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
You're not walking on eggshells, so you know those little annoyances don't turn into these huge blowouts.
Exactly. And that's backed up by research. Happy couples, they tend to communicate better.
Yeah.
They're better at solving problems, and they're more likely to view challenges as something they can overcome as a team.
So it's like happiness creates this positive feedback loop. Yeah.
You're happy.
Yeah.
So you act in ways that strengthen the relationship, which in turn leads to more happiness.
Precisely. But of course, it's not all sunshine and roses.
Right.
Your sources also talk about the nitty-gritty of keeping relationships healthy, which, let's face it, takes work.
It does, and there's no shortage of advice out there. Communicate clearly, make time for each other, learn each other's love languages. I mean, where do you even begin?
Right.
It can be overwhelming.
It can be. Out of all the tips in your sources, though, the one that really stood out to me was this emphasis on expressing your feelings openly, directly. Why do you think that's so crucial?
Well, I mean, if you keep everything bottled up inside, it's bound to explode eventually,
Yeah.
right? Like trying to hold a beach ball underwater.
Yeah.
It's just going to pop up somewhere else with way more force.
Exactly. And all those unexpressed feelings, they can manifest in unhealthy ways,
Yeah.
resentment, passive aggression, maybe withdrawing from the relationship altogether.
Right. It just creates this distance that's really hard to bridge.
But when you create a space where it's safe to share those feelings,
Yeah.
the good, the bad, the messy, I mean, that's how you build intimacy and understanding, right?
Absolutely. That vulnerability, it can be scary, but it's so powerful. It really is. It's what allows us to connect on a human level.
That makes sense. Okay. So your sources go on to outline these five key ingredients for a good relationship: love, communication, understanding, trust, and respect.
Each one plays a vital role. I mean, love provides that foundation. Communication is how we bridge that gap between two people. Understanding fosters empathy, trust creates security, and respect ensures that each person feels valued and honored.
It sounds like a pretty solid recipe.
It does. But there's an interesting twist. One of the sources claims that the most important aspect isn't even on that list.
Wait, really? What is it?
It's about believing you are worthy of love and happiness.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. But it makes sense, though, right? If you don't think you deserve love, you might end up sabotaging your relationships without even realizing it.
Exactly. You might push people away, settle for less than you deserve, or, constantly test your partner to see if they really care.
So self-worth is kind of like the missing ingredient. It
Yeah.
allows all those other elements to work their magic.
I think so. It's about recognizing your own value, knowing that you deserve to be treated with respect. And you approach relationships from a place of wholeness, not lack.
I like that. Okay. So we've talked about the foundations of healthy relationships:
Yeah.
honesty, communication, self-worth. But what about the flip side?
Okay.
What are some warning signs that a relationship, any relationship, is headed for trouble?
Well, your sources identify three major red flags: lack of respect, defensiveness, and constantly giving in.
Okay.
These are all signs that the power dynamic is off or that one person's needs are constantly being prioritized over the other person's.
Yikes. Can you give us some real-world examples of what those red flags might look like?
Sure. Let's say you're in a romantic relationship.
Okay.
And your partner constantly dismisses your feelings or interrupts you when you're speaking, or maybe they make jokes at your expense that make you feel uncomfortable. I mean, that's a pretty clear lack of respect, right?
Ouch, yeah, not good.
Not good. Okay, so what about defensiveness? Imagine you're trying to talk to your partner about something that's bothering you, and they immediately get defensive. Blame you, refuse to acknowledge their role in the problem. It's like talking to a wall.
Right. Nothing gets resolved because no one is taking responsibility.
Exactly. Now, this third red flag, constantly giving in that one, can be trickier.
Yeah, because compromise is important in relationships, right?
Yeah, it is. But there's a difference between healthy compromise, where both people are making concessions and, constantly sacrificing your needs just to please the other person.
So it's about finding that balance,
Yes.
knowing when to stand your ground and when to meet in the middle.
Exactly. And when that balance is off, it can lead to resentment, frustration, and eventually the relationship starts to erode.
This is all really helpful. It's like we're building this radar for those tricky relationship
I
dynamics.
like that.
But your sources don't just point out the warning signs, they also offer some really practical advice for navigating specific situations.
Yeah.
I'm ready to get into the nitty-gritty. Where should we start?
Let's talk about how to be a good partner. One of the most common dilemmas. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Your sources emphasize a few key practices, honesty, compromise, and active listening.
Honesty seems to be a recurring theme.
It is, and for good reason. Honesty builds trust, and trust is the foundation of any strong relationship. It's about being truthful, even when it's difficult, because in the end, that's what allows for a deeper connection.
Right. It's about creating that space where both people feel safe to be vulnerable and authentic.
Yeah.
So what about compromise? How does that play into being a good partner?
Well, compromise is really about finding that sweet spot where both people feel heard and respected. You know, even if it means letting go of some of your preferences. It's recognizing that you're part of a team, and sometimes you need to put the we before the me.
And that we is strengthened through active listening.
Yeah.
Which honestly feels like a superpower in relationships.
Okay.
What makes it so effective?
Active listening. It's all about truly hearing what the other person is saying, both verbally and non-verbally. Putting aside your own thoughts and judgments for a minute, and really focusing on understanding their perspective, making them feel seen and heard.
So it's not just waiting for your turn to talk.
Right.
It's about really absorbing what the other person is saying, even if you don't agree with them.
Exactly. It's about empathy. Stepping into their shoes.
Mm.
Trying to see the world through their eyes. And that level of attention can be so powerful for building intimacy and trust.
Wow. Okay, so we've got honesty, compromise, and active listening. Those are our tools for being a good partner. What about those other relationships in our lives? Like, how do we navigate those tricky coworker relationships?
Yeah. Good question. You know, your sources have some great advice for this. They emphasize the importance of setting boundaries.
Mm.
Open communication, and once again, respect.
Setting boundaries at work feels extra important these days.
It does.
Especially with the whole always-on work culture. How do we do that effectively?
Well, it's about being clear about your availability, your workload, you know, what you're comfortable discussing at work versus, you know, keeping private.
Right.
It's about saying no when you need to.
Yeah.
Prioritizing your own well-being and making sure work doesn't completely take over your personal life.
Right. It's about creating that healthy separation between our professional and personal lives.
Yeah.
And open communication. That's got to be vital for preventing misunderstandings and resolving conflict at work.
Absolutely. Being able to express your thoughts and concerns clearly. Respectfully, and also being open to hearing feedback from your colleagues, it can make such a difference in the overall dynamic.
And of course, respect is important in any relationship.
Right.
But especially in a professional setting.
Yeah.
How do we make sure our interactions with coworkers are always respectful, even when we disagree?
It's about treating everyone professionally.
Yeah.
With courtesy, regardless of their position or, you know, your personal feelings toward them.
Right.
It's about valuing their contributions, listening to their perspective, and avoiding, you know, the gossip and negativity that can just erode a team.
So it sounds like creating a positive and supportive work environment is a team effort.
Yeah.
Everyone has to play their part in fostering that sense of respect.
I think so.
And open communication.
Yeah. When those things are in place, it just makes for a much better experience for everyone. More collaborative, more productive.
Definitely. So from romantic partnerships to navigating those coworker dynamics, there seems to be some universal principles at play.
Mm-hmm.
Honesty, respect, communication, and that willingness to see things from the other person's perspective.
Yeah. It's amazing how often those themes come up, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Are there any other insights from your sources that you think are worth highlighting?
There are. Your sources get into a few other really important practices that apply to all types of relationships.
Okay. Like what?
Focusing on the positives, taking care of yourself within the relationship, and embracing the power of forgiveness.
Oh, those are some juicy topics. Let's dive in. First up, focusing on the positives. Why is this so important?
It's easy to get caught up in the negative, you know?
Oh, yeah.
The things that are bothering us, the disagreements, the unmet expectations.
Absolutely.
But when we consciously choose to focus on the good things, you know, like the things we appreciate about our partners, the positive experiences we've shared together, the qualities that drew us to them in the first place, well, it can really shift our perspective, helps us appreciate the strengths of the connection, even when things are tough.
It's like looking at the glass half full instead of half empty.
Exactly. And that positive outlook, it can make a huge difference in how we handle conflict, how we communicate our needs, you know, how we navigate those ups and downs that every relationship goes through.
Your sources actually suggest keeping a positives journal,
uh-huh,
where you write down the things you appreciate about your partner or the good things that happened in your relationship. Have you ever tried that?
I have. It's surprisingly powerful, honestly. It forces you to slow down, to pay attention to the good stuff, and really cultivate a sense of gratitude for what you have. And honestly, gratitude is a game changer for any relationship.
Okay, so we've got focusing on the positives.
Yeah.
What about taking care of yourself within a relationship? Isn't the point of a relationship to, focus on your partner?
That's a really good question. And it's a common misconception. Your sources really stress the point that taking care of yourself is not selfish. It's actually essential for a healthy relationship. If you're constantly depleted, stressed, neglecting your own needs, how can you possibly show up for someone else?
So it's like that oxygen mask on an airplane,
Yeah.
right? You have to put on your own mask first before you can help anyone else.
Exactly. And that self-care can take so many forms. It can be setting boundaries, making time for activities that bring you joy. Maybe it's a solo vacation or even just 30 minutes of quiet time to read or meditate each day.
It's about recognizing that you are a whole person with your own needs and desires,
Yes.
and tending to those needs actually makes you a better partner.
Precisely. When both partners prioritize their own well-being, it creates a more balanced dynamic for both people.
Makes sense. Okay, so we've covered focusing on the positives and taking care of ourselves. What about forgiveness?
Yes, forgiveness.
That feels like a really tough one, especially when you've been hurt or betrayed.
It is. Forgiveness is a complex process, often challenging. But, your sources really emphasize this as an essential element of healing and moving forward in any relationship.
They actually suggest starting with forgiving yourself.
They do.
Wait, why is that the first step?
Because we often carry around a lot of guilt and shame for our own mistakes or perceived shortcomings, and that inner turmoil, it can make it really hard to forgive other people.
So it starts with self-compassion,
Yeah.
acknowledging that we're all human and we all make mistakes.
Exactly. It's about releasing that burden of guilt and shame so that we can approach the situation with a more open heart.
Makes sense. But what about forgiving the other person? How do you let go of the hurt and resentment?
Well, your sources emphasize that your partner is human too, capable of making mistakes, just like you. And they encourage you to see the situation from their perspective, to recognize that maybe they have their own wounds or challenges that contributed to their actions.
So it's about empathy,
Yeah.
trying to see the situation through their eyes, even when their actions were hurtful.
Exactly. And it's important to remember that forgiving someone doesn't mean you're condoning their behavior.
Right.
It's about letting go of the pain and resentment so that you can move forward.
It's about choosing to heal and grow rather than letting those negative emotions control you.
Exactly. Forgiveness can be a difficult process. It can take time,
Yeah.
but it's a gift to yourself as much as to the other person.
Wow, that's a really powerful way to think about it. Forgiveness is a path to freedom and healing.
It is. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here, from defining a relationship to the complexities of forgiveness. But there are a couple more points from your sources that I wanted to touch on before we wrap things up.
Okay.
One is this idea of making time for each other. And the other is, finding balance within a relationship.
Those are both so important.
Yeah.
Let's start with making time for each other. What do the sources have to say about that?
Well, they emphasize the power of scheduling,
Oh.
even if it feels a bit, unromantic.
Right.
But the idea is that you actually block out time for dates, activities, or just quiet conversations, just like you'd schedule any other important appointment.
It makes sense. Our lives are so busy, it's easy to let relationships fall by the wayside.
It is. It is.
But when you make a conscious effort to prioritize those connections, even if it means putting it on the calendar, I mean, that sends a powerful message, right?
It does. You're saying you're important to me. I'm making time for you.
Exactly.
Even when things get crazy. And those moments of connection, they're so nourishing for the relationship. Whether it's cooking dinner together, going for a walk, or cuddling up to watch a movie, the key is to just create those shared experiences. Build that sense of togetherness.
And what about finding balance in a relationship? What does that look like?
Well, your sources highlight this idea of recognizing both your own needs and your partner's needs and being adaptable, finding that sweet spot where both individuals feel fulfilled,
Okay.
understanding that there will be times when one person needs more support
Right.
or attention than the other, and just being willing to adjust accordingly.
So it's not about a 50-50 split all the time.
No, not necessarily. It's more nuanced than that. It's about being flexible and responsive to the ebb and flow of life.
So you're constantly adjusting and adapting to find that harmony.
Exactly.
Huh. That makes me wonder, is there a secret formula for achieving that?
That's a great question. And honestly, I don't think there is a one-size-fits-all answer. Every relationship is different. What constitutes balance is going to depend on the people involved, their personalities, their needs, their circumstances.
So it's not about striving for some kind of perfect equality. It's about finding what works for that partnership.
And that takes open communication, a willingness to listen to each other, and a commitment to working together.
And I imagine that that balance will shift and change over time. As life throws you curveballs, you'll need to recalibrate.
Oh, absolutely. Job changes, family responsibilities, health challenges. Life is full of surprises,
Right.
and you have to be willing to adapt.
It's like being on a seesaw. You're constantly shifting your weight to maintain that equilibrium.
I love that analogy, and it really emphasizes the need for communication and flexibility as we navigate those changes.
Right.
You know, if one partner is going through a busy period at work, the other partner might need to pick up the slack at home.
It's about teamwork,
It is.
supporting each other through thick and thin.
And when that teamwork is strong, it allows the relationship to weather those inevitable storms.
You know, listening to all this, it makes me realize that building and maintaining healthy relationships is a constant process. It's not like you just arrive at your destination and then you're done.
It's a journey, not a destination.
Exactly.
And like any journey, there are going to be bumps along the way, unexpected detours, moments where you need to, reevaluate where you're headed.
But that's all part of the adventure. The key is to just keep moving forward, keep learning, keep growing.
And to embrace those imperfections.
Right. You know, sometimes those challenges might even lead us to seek outside support. The source doesn't mention therapy specifically, but I think it's important to acknowledge that it's okay to ask for help.
Oh, absolutely. There's no shame in reaching out for professional guidance. It can be a really valuable resource.
It's like having a coach in your corner, someone who can help you see things from a different perspective, develop new strategies, work through those tough spots that every relationship faces.
And just like an athlete needs a coach, we can all benefit from that kind of support when it comes to relationships.
It's not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of commitment.
It is. It shows that you're willing to invest in yourself, in your relationships, and in creating a more fulfilling life.
And speaking of investment, one of the most important things we can invest in is that relationship with ourselves.
Oh, absolutely.
We talked about how self-worth is the foundation for healthy connections. You know, if you don't believe you deserve love and happiness, it's hard to create that in your life.
And that self-work is ongoing too. It's about tending to your own needs, cultivating self-compassion, and recognizing your value, even when we make mistakes.
Because when we feel good about ourselves, we can show up for others in a much more positive and supportive way.
And that positive energy, it's contagious. It affects everything, our romantic relationships, our friendships, our family dynamics, even our work relationships.
So, taking care of ourselves is a gift to everyone in our lives.
It is. And it reminds me of another key point from your sources, that idea of making time for those we care about.
Right. Even when life gets busy, we have to prioritize those connections.
It's so important.
Scheduling those moments, whether it's date nights, family dinners, phone calls with friends, it might feel forced at first, but it's a powerful statement.
It is. You're saying you matter. Even if you only have 30 minutes, that dedicated time can make all the difference.
Because those shared experiences, those moments of laughter and support, that's what makes life richer, you know?
And they don't have to be these big, elaborate things. It's often the small, everyday things that make the biggest difference. You know, sharing a cup of coffee, listening to a friend vent about their day, just cuddling up on the couch with your partner to watch a movie. Those are the little things that matter.
It's about appreciating those moments and making a conscious effort to create more of them.
And when we prioritize that connection, it creates a ripple effect
Yeah.
that extends beyond the relationship itself. It really does.
It's like we're investing in our own happiness. By nurturing our relationships, we're nurturing ourselves.
And that investment pays off in countless ways. It really does.
Wow. We covered a lot of ground today. Really just feel like we've been on a journey, you know, exploring those foundational elements, diving deep into that connection psychology.
It has. And what strikes me is, how much wisdom is packed into these concepts that seem so simple on the surface. Honesty, respect, understanding. Putting those into practice, that's where the real magic happens.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up, I want to ask you, listening, what's one piece of advice that really resonated with you? The one that feels most relevant to your life right now.
And building on that, I have one more question. What's one small step you can take today, right now, to actually put that advice into action? It doesn't have to be a huge thing.
Right, because even small changes can make a big difference.
They really can.
And that brings me to one of the last points in your sources, the idea that building and maintaining healthy relationships is an ongoing process.
Oh,
It's not like you reach some perfect state and then you're done.
No relationship nirvana.
Right.
Nope.
It's a journey.
It is a journey of constant learning and growth, lots of adapting along the way.
And just like any journey, there will be bumps in the road, unexpected detours, times when you need to, pause and reevaluate which way you're going.
Exactly.
But those are all part of the adventure. The key is just to keep moving forward,
I agree.
keep learning, keep growing. And, those challenges, those bumps in the road, sometimes those are actually opportunities to become even stronger.
I think so. They push us to communicate, to compromise, to practice empathy, to see things from a new perspective.
And sometimes those challenges might even lead us to seek some support. The sources didn't talk specifically about therapy, but I think it's important to remember that it's okay to ask for help when we need it.
Absolutely. I mean, think of it like having a coach, someone to help you see things more clearly. Maybe develop some new strategies for navigating those difficult moments that all relationships face at some point.
And it's not a sign of weakness, it's actually a sign of strength and commitment. It shows that you're willing to invest in yourself, in your relationships, and in creating a more fulfilling life.
Exactly. And speaking of investment, one of the most important things we can invest in is that relationship with ourselves.
Right. Because self-worth is the foundation for all healthy connections. If you don't believe you deserve love and happiness, it's hard to create that in your life.
And that work on ourselves, well, it's ongoing too. It's about prioritizing our needs, learning to be kind to ourselves, recognizing our worth, even when we stumble.
Because when we feel good about ourselves, we can show up for the people in our lives in a much more positive and supportive way.
Exactly. And that positive energy is so powerful. It can transform not just our romantic relationships, but our friendships, family dynamics, even the way we interact with people at work.
So taking care of ourselves is a gift to everyone around us.
It really is. And it reminds me of another key point from your sources. Making time for the people who matter, even when life is hectic.
Right. Scheduling those moments of connection, whether it's a date night, a family dinner, a quick phone call with a friend, it sends such a powerful message.
It does. It says you're a priority.
Exactly. Even if you only have 30 minutes, that dedicated time can make all the difference.
It really can, because it's those shared experiences, those moments of laughter, those little acts of support. Those are the things that make life so much richer.
I love that. And it reminds me that each relationship is so
It
unique. It's
is.
this tapestry, this constantly evolving work of art.
Beautifully said. And just like any work of art, relationships take time and care. It takes patience and understanding, a willingness to see the beauty, even when things aren't perfect.
And most importantly, a commitment to showing up for each other day after day.
That's what makes the difference.
Well said. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of relationships. Remember, connection is a journey. It's about showing up, being curious, and never stop learning and growing in those relationships that matter most. Until next time, happy connecting.